Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Now,
Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
and Taylor Dahl.
And Mia O'Brien from First Coast News.
Yep.
And Maverick the puppy dog.
Oh, yes. Mav is here.
You won't hear him.
Mav
or
is
Sam.
Donna's sweet dog. He is joining us for tonight only because he got to go to the groomer earlier today and then spend some quality time with mom here at 1010XL.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
So let's talk quarterbacks. That's been a fun discussion all offseason so far. We've had lots of different guys potentially going to new teams. One of those guys, Russell Wilson, came out with four teams that he would be interested in if he left the Seahawks. Those
is
teams.
Is it him or is it his representatives? Who actually
came out?
They said
Wilson. The way the reports came out said Wilson said he would reportedly go. So come home. Let's go.
And we will get to one of those teams, i.e. Taylor's Chicago Bears, in a second. It is the Dallas Cowboys, the New Orleans Saints, the Las Vegas Raiders, and those Bears. Those are the four teams.
Those Bears.
And those Bears. The aforementioned Bears. Not bad. Well, Donna, I think a great place for Russell Wilson to go would be the Patriots if he does leave Seattle. Look, I don't think he's going to end up leaving Seattle. He is throwing a little bit of a hissy fit right now that he's unhappy about certain things going on with the franchise. But overall, I think he's going to end up staying there. But the Patriots really need a quarterback. They are done with Cam Newton, it seems, and rightfully so. Russell Wilson is a guy that I think could follow the Patriot way, and he would love for Bill Belichick to collaborate with him as far as getting an offensive coordinator to do what he wants to do, throw the ball around more. But you don't agree.
No, it's not that I don't agree. It's that for someone who has not had love for New England, I guess, Lauren, in your sense, I don't know if it was because of Brady or Belichick or both or whatever it is with Boston, but
it was all the winning.
When you said this on the Frangie show, like, my jaw dropped and I go, yes, I would love that. However, that would then mean New England's back on top and, you know, Belichick now has another, you know, franchise QB. So I was just stunned. Yes, I would be fully on board. Why Boston isn't a town that they would choose, whatever, that's fine. You know, Boston's not for everybody.
If I'm Russell Wilson, that's a place I'd want to go. I guess I should
I know.
Well, so here's the thing, though. The intangibles match up perfectly. I mean, it's a guy who's proven that not only does he win, but that he wants to build facets of his team to improve other parts of his team. It's not about landing superstars. It's about finding circle pegs to fit into circle holes. But herein lies the issue that Russell Wilson is having with Pete Carroll, and he surely would have with Bill Belichick, which is the lack of an open line of communication. That reportedly is the reason that Tom Brady went to Tampa, because he wanted weapons, and Bill Belichick was not giving him weapons, because Bill Belichick, like Pete Carroll, his offense is predicated on the run game and controlling the clock and playing great defense. Obviously, the Patriots were affected by opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball this year, so that will be significantly improved. But again, they are going to run the ball. Even when they had Tom Brady, part of what has preserved Tom Brady is they are going to run the ball. And that's Russell Wilson's issue in Seattle right now. They want to run the ball. We saw the first 6-7 games of the season when they let Russ cook, and he was, I believe, first in the Cook Index in terms of throwing on first down in the NFL. We saw what happened. And then when they went back to the run game, that's all of a sudden when not only was Wilson taking 7 sacks in 2 games, but that's also when they were not able to, A, win, B, produce an offensive showcase like they did the first 6-7 weeks of the season when he was an MVP candidate.
Wait, is the Cook Index a real thing?
Yes, it actually is. I was shocked as well. It's not just Amina Kimes' invention. I was stunned as well. So first and foremost, implore you to check out, if you haven't already, if you have a subscription to The Athletic, check out Michael Sean Duger, Mike Sando, Jason Jenks, put together kind of the in-depth look at what has devolved in Seattle. And that's really the basis of it, is that it's a Pete Carroll versus Russell Wilson thing, which, as memory serves, and Donna as a New Englander can attest to, were we not talking 3-4 years ago about the evaporation, the devolution of the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That
Garoppolo
was falling apart. Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's not a third party like a Garoppolo in Seattle, but there is that lack of open line of communication. And there's once again that, you know, I am in charge and this is the way we're going to play football. And so that's where I don't think New England will be the fit.
See, to me, Taylor, I would think Belichick has learned like Saban did, right? These are two of the smartest coaches in the history of the sport. Saban realized that he needed to change his offense in order to be able to win in today's college football. I feel like Belichick, having learned that, yes, his way of running the football for a long period of time was going to be successful, but now you have to change in order to keep up with the NFL. Look at the Bucs, look at the Chiefs, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, and the way that they do their offense is different than the way the Patriots have always done it and the Seahawks have done it. So to me, if Belichick's smart, he would change. Either way, you'd much rather Russell Wilson be in Chicago and us never even mention Wilson and the Patriots.
Well, and going back to what you were saying, Lauren, because with Belichick, yeah, I think you can say it would be smart of him to change, but it's Bill Belichick, and I think he can also say, I've won this much. Granted, I've had Tom Brady, but I have all of this on my record, so I know how to win football games, and that's up in two previous years. It's not like he was great for 10 years, but he hasn't been in 5, 6, 7 years. You know, like, Belichick was the guy for a while. My question more is the Patriots a team that is going to win next year or the year after with an immediate quarterback? Because I think that's what Russell Wilson wants, is he's looking at teams that could potentially be like, okay, they're already on that cusp and all they are missing is a quarterback that could help. And going back to Mia, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, because I did see an article the other day saying that like potentially getting rid of Pete Carroll so Wilson wants to stay. Do you think an organization would choose a player like Russell Wilson over a coach?
I think he's a transformative figure in Seattle. He was the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. But then again, the Walter Payton Man of the Year was traded from Jacksonville one year earlier. So I don't think that's saying all that much. One thing I do want to note is that the representative for Russell Wilson told ESPN's Adam Schefter that the Saints, the Raiders, the Bears or the Cowboys were the four teams. Mm-hmm. But then in CBS Sports, Jason Lockenfora's column, it was the Saints, the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Jets.
Yeah, well, we don't believe Lockenfora.
Yeah, though. Nobody trusts
No one believes Lockenfora. We knew that. One thing that I do want to touch on, though, because obviously that's six teams that we just named, and I hinted at this in crosstalk with Frank and with Hayes, is that we could potentially have 13 different NFL teams out of 32 selecting quarterbacks in the first and second round of the NFL draft this upcoming season. I don't think there's enough quarterbacks for all 13 teams to draft a quarterback. And so that's where this movement of Deshaun Watson, of Russell Wilson, I mean, they may have to play this hand because there are so many openings. I mean, at this point in time, I kind of did it by tiers. Obviously, the Jaguars and the Jets are at the top of the list looking for a quarterback. But, of course, the Jets could hang on to Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. And then the three teams behind them that I have that are in dire need of a quarterback, whether they are a quarterback away or not, are the Patriots, the Bears, and the Washington football team.
And obviously, you could put the Panthers in there, too.
And the Panthers. The Panthers I actually have more towards the middle of that because kind of like the Eagles, like they have a guy. Yeah. Is he the guy?
I feel like the Eagles like their guy way better than Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Way better than the Panthers.
Right. But they got to see him. And is he the long term? I mean, sure. I would say the Eagles are almost in a similar situation to Jacksonville 1 year ago where people were asking, are the Jaguars going to draft a quarterback? Mm-hmm. But they want to see what Gardner Minshew has. And I would say that's where Philly is.
But Washington signed Taylor Heineke. So they might leave all the other conversation behind,
and they might see what they have for a year but they're a team that I would akin to the Chicago Bears and that their defense is there. I mean, mm-hmm. that defensive front four for Washington might be the best in the NFL. I mean, you have four former first rounders, say that five times fast, in the front of their defense. I mean, they could be a couple players away from a Super Bowl on the defensive side. I'm not so sure the Bears are maybe in that quite that conversation.
Debate her, Taylor. Debate me.
Well, I was about to say, I think that, which, and I posted this on Twitter too about they're going 8-8. Well, they're 28-20 in the last few seasons, and that's what. And I accidentally even said it wrong because I put Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's not even in that conversation because he was in 2017. But it was Chase Daniel, Trubisky, and Foles, and they've been to two playoffs in those 3 years. They're going 28-20, and they didn't even know who their quarterback was game to game all last season and won 8 games. And a lot of that was defense, but the defense then fell off a lot towards the end of the year because they carried them on their back, and a lot of things were figured out. The line, which was missing the left tackle almost all season, and the guard and Cody Whitehair, both of them, once Whitehair came back, the offensive line was completely different, and they went from averaging almost 3 sacks a game to only allowing 4 in the last 4 games. So that's what people keep pointing to the most, is like, why would Russell Wilson leave a place right. where he's getting attacked when he's going to get attacked in Chicago? And I was like, I don't think that's the case. You're looking at like this glimpse of last year of where they were really, really bad, but they weren't knowing why they were so bad. But I also think that if they were to get a guy like Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, Allen Robinson would want to stay. So you would have that number one guy, the receiver. Darnell Mooney is amazing. If you didn't watch a lot of Bears games, you wouldn't have known that. He was incredible. The defense is incredible. They have guys like Cole Kmet as tight end. He was really starting to show. David Montgomery is really starting to show. And that's not even including Tariq Cohen, who tore his ACL in the beginning of the season and didn't play all season. So there was like so many factors of last year that was a complete disaster, and they pulled out 8 wins. So I just don't see how somebody like Russell Wilson wouldn't come in and give you at least 2-3 more wins in that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how a few years ago we look at how much of a mess Jacksonville was and how, you know, Ramsey wind his way out, and then so did a few other players. And now the thing to do, and the cool thing is to wind your way out of wherever you want to go. So are we looking at this whole quarterback movement as a thank you to Jalen Ramsey? Did he start all of this crappy whining diva stuff?
Well, no, it's turning the NFL in large part to the NBA, where the players have the power. Right. I think in the NBA you can do that because there's X amount of guys on a team and X amount of guys on a court. We've never seen this in the NFL. I mean, free agency wasn't a thing until only about 30 or so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think I apologize to the Bears fans, including Taylor Dahl out there, because part of Russell Wilson's frustration is not so much whining as it is he is presenting facts, which is he has been sacked no less than 40 times every season since 2013.
Yeah, but he holds the ball a long time, too.
This is true.
It's not all the offensive.
Right, and so there's a lot of people that will say, well, he's moving around, and many people will say, I didn't even realize he was sacked 48 times last year because he's running around so much in the pocket. You have no idea that that's how many times he actually went down like that. And whether they were good sacks or not, that remains up for debate. But it is clear that he is looking who has a strong offensive line, which is why I think the Cowboys part is fascinating, because the Cowboys were they allowed 44 sacks last year, and the Seahawks allowed 48.
Yeah.
So. I don't know where that one came from.
And that one surprised me, too, because the Cowboys, in theory, have a quarterback in Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Have they agreed to a long-term deal? No, but I would think if I'm Dak Prescott, when that news comes out about Wilson.
Like, ouch.
Yeah, I want to have a conversation with you privately.
Yeah.
I would not have been happy about that.
Well, right. And going, sorry, really quick, yep. Donna, about the Jalen thing, because I think that here it was so huge because it was in Jacksonville, but when Le'Veon Bell, I think, sat out and made his big thing, even though he says now he regrets doing that, I think that was a big push in a lot of these guys being like, oh, I can sit and I'll get traded and go somewhere else and try and get my way, even though it hasn't worked that out for everybody who's done that. I think that was kind of like that initial one that was really like, hey, let's complain and we'll maybe get what we want.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and certainly to be noted, Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson have the same agent in David Mugaletta. So a lot of it, as much as I place a lot of blame on Jalen himself, I think a lot of it has to do with the agent.
Players
and
first.
Yeah, right. And players are trying
to
get
leverage.
That's
the name leverage. Of the agency.
That's exactly. Why we don't like Drew Rosenhaus. Because we're like, here we go. You're going to be a problem child.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, so Seth Galina is going to join us next from Pro Football Focus. He sees some really good things in our future quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. We can't wait to chat with him. That's coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, Mia O'Brien, and I am Taylor Dahl. We are joined by Seth Galina. He's the senior college football analyst for PFF. And Seth, I'm just going to jump right into this because the first thing I saw that really attracted me to this article was your tweet when you quote tweeted your article that you wrote. And you said, Big Draft Media doesn't want you to know that Trevor Lawrence's 2019 season was just okay and bad at times. So because I want to be the well actually guy, I went hunting for bad play in the 2020 tape. Guess what? It don't exist. He's good. LOL. So, Seth, let's get right to this. And what did you see as the main advances in Trevor Lawrence from 2019 to 2020?
That's a very good impersonation of me, I must say.
Thank you.
Well, I think, you know, you saw the freshman year, he was just lights out. You know, everything they called for him, he's doing at a high level. And in fact, today I wrote some more about him, and I wrote that he basically became the first, I mean, look, coming out of high school, he was probably already the first overall pick in the 2021 draft. But he threw this throw, like a wide side, field side corner route against Alabama in the national championship game. And that's like one of those throws that, even in the NFL, you just get, because they don't expect you to go throw a corner route to the wide side of the field. Obviously, the hashes are wider in college, like just like that. And he did it, and that's probably when he got locked into the number one overall pick. But then he comes back the next year, and I know there was some, I heard some injury stuff, maybe with the shoulder that he obviously just had surgery on, and it just felt like there was some sort of big man on campus type situation. And you saw him not really go through his reads, his accuracy. He's not like deadly accurate, like Joe Burrow was, like, you know, even Justin Fields is this year. But it was still not very good compared to what it was as a freshman, you know, in his sophomore year. So it was just a lot of that, just a lot of like throwing the ball up to his receivers because it's like, hey, we're Clemson, we're just going to do it. And guess what? It works because, again, they're Clemson. But it wasn't like really good quarterback play. It really wasn't. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to be the guy who says Trevor Lawrence kind of stinks. But then 2020 happened, and he's like, he's legit. No mistake. You know, the accuracy went back up to really pretty good levels. Again, is he the most accurate? No. But the total package is there. And he was just hitting every throw. Again, it's all these outbreaking routes. I mean, I think most of the throws are outbreaking routes. What they've been doing, you know, since Dabble got there, basically. He puts them on the money. The quick release, the pocket movement. Like, I think there's no super prospect, and I don't believe in that. But at the same time, he's as close as you're going to get to someone like that.
Seth, Mio, Brian here. Thanks so much for joining us here tonight. My biggest observation in looking at Trevor from year two to year three wasn't so much about him as it was about the personnel at Clemson. I know they're Clemson. They get all the five stars. But would you agree that because he didn't have some of the threats, maybe downfield threats that he did in years prior, that maybe that limited him a little bit, especially in that national football semifinal? And with that said, what sort of receivers should Jacksonville be targeting to surround him with?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there was a big drop-off going from T. Higgins and Justin Ross to some more unknowns. Obviously, you know, Powell, but his first name, he came on strong as the year went on. Obviously, you have Amari Rodgers, so he's not really, you know, he's more of a gadgety type of player. So, you know, when you talk about surrounding him with talent, I think you already have a guy like Chark there, who's a very good player. You would like to find a receiver who can win those underneath. You know, like I said, like a gadget type player, bubble screen. You know, quick throw can make plays in space. So, you know, in the draft, maybe it's their second pick in the first round if they go and get one of these interesting receivers. Or, you know, if someone drops to them, you know, if someone like Rashad Bateman drops to them, you can't pass. Like, yeah, he's an X receiver for sure, big body, you know, runs good routes down the field. But you can't pass on him. If not, then, you know, maybe it's Kadarius Toney from around the way. Maybe it's a guy like Rondale Moore, you know, those type of players who are quick and can get in and out of cuts really quickly so he can have an outlet.
Real quick follow-up. Do the Jaguars trade for Hunter Renfrow?
Yeah, no, that's there's, you know, there's like an always, there's always a Hunter Renfrow.
I had to ask it, you know. There's got to be a Hunter Renfrow if we're going to have a Clemson reunion out here.
There's a Hunter Renfrow that's at Clemson right now, and there's probably another Hunter Renfrow that is going to Clemson in the future. And there was probably already been six Hunter Renfrows that have played at Clemson. There's just a long line of Hunter Renfrows going through the Clemson system. So, I think if you want to unlock the full power of Trevor Lawrence, you got to find the original Hunter Renfrow.
Seth Galina with PFF joining us here. Seth, this is Donna Murphy. I have to say, I applaud you for your article. I love how you ended it with the phrase that he is a robot sent from the future to destroy opposing defenses. One, you need to coin that and go ahead and make t-shirts because we will sell those here in Jacksonville. But two, how much of an advantage is it for Trevor Lawrence, who we hope, we haven't had, confirmation yet, but we hope becomes Jacksonville's newest quarterback. How much of an advantage is it for him to have Urban Meyer as his coach?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we haven't seen Urban at the professional level, and there's a lot of unknowns with that stuff. He's never lost. When's the last time you ever heard an Urban Meyer team losing more than four games in a season? Five. I mean, you can look this up, but it's not. And they will, I'm sorry, but there's a good chance they're going to lose more than four or five games in the season next year. Uh-huh. So I think that is really interesting. Obviously, the nice thing is that he's surrounding him with really veteran offensive coaches, Schottenheimer, and I think is it Nathaniel Hackett or Bevel? It's Bevel and Schottenheimer. I mean, those guys have been around. They've created offenses their whole life. So I think that, to me, is more the interesting thing because I just don't know much about Urban. We know him at the college level. We know he's transformed every team that he's been at that level, but we just don't know it at the professional level.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett works with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to hope that Darrell Bevell has a better quarterback in Trevor Lawrence than Aaron Rodgers. That's what we're going to hope here, Seth.
You know what's funny? I in the article that's coming out tomorrow morning on PFF.com, I ranked, instead of just doing individual features on the quarterbacks, I ranked them all. So obviously, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback one. But one of the things that was really interesting is we can do these heat maps, we can do routes, where all the routes were run relative to the other teams in the country or in the NFL. And then we can do the target. And one of the things that is fascinating is Rodgers 2020 and Trevor Lawrence 2020, but also 2019 and 2018, they targeted the exact same places on the field. So it's like I said, a lot of outbreaking routes. So down the sideline, corners, out routes, speed outs, that type of thing. So when you look at, there's some similarities there because Aaron Rodgers is kind of like a generational sideline, go ball, nine ball, fade ball, whatever you want to call it, thrower, and Trevor Lawrence could be the next coming of that.
We certainly hope so. Seth, for someone who's never watched Trevor Lawrence play, would you say that by the time he dons a Jaguars uniform, that they will be impressed
in the Hall
with the
of Fame
first
already.
Throw?
Yeah. They just put him already
put him in the
Hall.
Pride.
But I mean, how quickly in that first game will they be impressed? And obviously most diehard Jaguars fans at this point have gone back and watched even if they're not college football fans, but how quickly will they be impressed with arm strength and things like that? And of course, putting that in comparison with, we've had Gardner Minshew, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, Cody Kessler.
Well, I think the thing that stands out, and it is a bit of an optical illusion. I've been talking about this recently in regards to Zach Wilson and Fields and Trevor Lawrence. He gets the release is so quick. Is it the perfect release? It's close to it. It's not perfect. There's some things you can tighten up. But it happens so quickly. Like, Justin Fields has the same type of pass with his arm. Like, when he decides, I'm going to throw the football, and the arm starts to move and the ball starts to move to get to the point where he releases it, they're very similar. But Trevor Lawrence, the arm movement is so quick and fast. And I think that's the first thing you notice. It's just the ball pops out of his hand. It's not necessary. And obviously he has like super arm strength and his arm talent and stuff like that. But I think there is a part of an optical illusion where the ball looks faster because of how fast his arm is moving. Not that he doesn't have an elite arm, but it acts as like a double whammy because you get the already elite arm talent and this quick release that I think that to me, that's what I fall in love with, is the quick release.
Seth Galina, senior college football analyst for PFF. Seth, I want to go to another potential NFL quarterback that it will be in the draft this year. We talked to Amy Trask last week, and she is a former CEO for the Raiders, and she mentioned something along the lines of the draft isn't a science and there are misses and there are guys that are going to surprise you. So there are, we know the guys, we know the QBs that are going to be drafted high up, but there are some later round ones that are in question, and one of those close to home in Kyle Trask. Do you see Trask being able to start in the NFL?
Trask is a tough one because, well, first of all, I don't want to take away from what he's done over the past two seasons. He didn't grade well for us in 2019 because there was a lot of like dropped interceptions that don't show up on the traditional box with that. But 2020, he was outstanding, and there's nothing you can say about it. Obviously, like the scheme is great there, the weapons he had last year with Pitts and Tony, great, and Grimes too, and stuff like that. So I don't want to like take away from what he did as a college football quarterback. And it would be nice if we were allowed to just talk about these kids as college football players and not necessarily pro prospects. However, I don't really see it with Kyle Trask as a pro prospect. I think everything just comes out. The ball, he's accurate, but the ball is not very thrown very hard, I would say. The athletic ability isn't there, and it's something that the reason you need athletic ability, then everyone says, oh, you need to be athletic to play quarterback in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. The point, you don't need to be athletic after 5, 10 years, whatever it is, once you start understanding defenses. But until you get to that point, you're going to get in trouble where you don't read it properly, where they blitz you and you don't have a hot answer, and you don't protect it properly, and you're going to have to escape. And that's why we need the athleticism early in your career, because you don't see anything. You're playing half blind out there. So that would be my concern with Trask. Can he be a second round pick still? Probably. I'm not saying I would do that, but I could still see his team taking him. I mean, look, you could be late in the first round. You never know, especially with all the quarterbacks that will be off the board early.
Wrapping up here with Pro Football Focus's Seth Galina. Seth, I have a list in front of me that I compiled of teams that are in need of a quarterback potentially this year. And my list is 13 of the 32 teams in the NFL. Obviously, there probably won't be 13 quarterbacks drafted in the first two rounds. But beyond the obvious top six of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, who are some of those other guys that maybe a team, you know, hopes turns into a Gardner Minshew or, dare we say, Tom Brady in the sixth round of the NFL draft?
You know, it's interesting because the group you just mentioned, they all played on really good teams. I guess, you know, Florida was the, you know, out of all that group, the Florida was kind of had the toughest. They weren't as bully ball as the other teams you mentioned. So now when I look at the other quarterbacks in the draft, I'm looking at, okay, who played in a tough situation? And maybe the stats weren't there. Maybe the PFF grade wasn't there, but you see something. You see maybe there needs to be some consistency and stuff like that. And for me, it's my guy, it's Kellen Mond, Texas A&M, because you know the physical aspect is there. It's been there for his whole life. And he just played, you know, Texas A&M, they're not as good as Alabama. They're not as good as LSU. They're not as good as Florida, so on and so forth. So they're already, you know, in an uphill battle. And Jimbo Fisher runs a pretty complicated offense, you know, for a college quarterback. So I think maybe that type of training that he's done there, having those reps in a more difficult offense than, say, you know, what Zach Wilson had even this year, maybe that'll do him some good going forward. Because, again, the physical aspect is there. He's just got to put it all together. And I think that would be a guy I would look at in the later rounds of the draft.
And we'll be watching Mac Jones as well, also from Jacksonville, right out of Bulls. All right, final question, Seth. You're Twitter profile picture on the background
is
Lane Kiffin, and I need to know. I guess I should ask about person on a horse, but I'm gonna ask about Lane Kiffin. Why Lane Kiffin?
Do you guys know the video that I'm taking it from? It's from his first few months when he got the job at Florida Atlantic, and they made like a recruiting video. But I think it's purposely done in the worst way possible, where he's just like, hey, yeah, what's up, guys? How about you guys come to the FAU and like, whatever, we can hang out or something. So that is like the best recruiting video that's ever been made. So I had to do it justice and put it as my my cover photo.
I like it.
I do like it. Well, Seth, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be keeping a lookout for those shirts, the Robot Sent from the Future shirts. So let us know when you get those out on the market.
Yeah, don't worry. I got you.
All right, thanks. Seth Galina, senior college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. It's going to be definitely interesting. So many quarterback things that still need to be figured out, and I think that's going to continue because once you start seeing movements, it's domino effect.
Yeah, right, but that's what's great about having the number one overall pick.
We're not worrying personally here right now.
I don't have to stress. I don't lose any sleep about who the quarterback
will be. Just come out and say it. We are picking him.
Well, the fact that we're now debating who the backup will be, and that's the biggest question. I mean,
it's a hot topic here in Jacksonville.
It's comfortable. It's new for us.
We like our backup quarterbacks.
That's what we're used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's up next. We're going to give a little advice to Trevor Lawrence about Jacksonville. So we'll do that on Helmets and Heels, driven on by Tire Outlet.
Sports with a glass of Chardonnay, Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Love DJ RJ, man. DJ RJ in the house.
We'll have the country for us. Will come in hour two.
I can always wait for that one.
No, he's saying no.
That's not my forte. Well,
only at Chubby's, I guess, will he play the country music.
How is it possible that one Donna Murphy, who loves NASCAR, doesn't listen to country music? Like, that is a juxtaposition that makes no sense.
I don't know, because somehow I got hooked on Elvis, which I don't remember. You know how you remember all of a sudden you like something? You started liking it. Like, I will forever remember why I fell in love with Tom Hanks. But I could not to this day tell you why I grew up listening to Elvis or grew up watching I Love Lucy. Have no clue. It was never on in the house. It's not like they played it all the time. So I have no idea why.
Well, I will say this. As a third grader, Uncle Cracker was one of my favorite artists. I sang Leanne Rimes and Shania Twain at a talent show. But then I got to high school and I was like, I hate country music. And then I got to college and I was like, oh.
Never mind.
I guess I've always kind of liked country music. So I'm just saying, maybe deep down, if we went through the lexicon and if we had more time, we could, you know, we could find some.
The answer is no.
No. No.
I've known her now for however many years, 8 years. And the answer is no. I wish she loved country like the rest of us.
But I don't hate it. It's just not my style.
Well, you know who does like country music? Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's big Casey Musgraves fan.
Well, he's coming to the right place because, I mean, once, you know, the concerts start rolling back in and Daly's Place is rocking yet again, that is a place that you can advise him to go. So this is give advice to Trevor Lawrence and, I would say, his lovely fiance.
Sure, they'll
be
married before he gets to town, I would say.
So what, Lauren, would be your advice for Trevor?
Well, I would tell him that we have some really amazing hidden gems in this city. And you just have to be a little bit adventurous to be able to explore them. But my favorite place I have ever been, sort of in the city, it's more, I would say, a landscape type place. But going on the boat and going to Fort George and going to the islands that appear and disappear with the tide is freaking phenomenal. And my advice would be to make friends with someone with a boat or buy one. Yes. But his center, Brandon Linder, has a gorgeous boat. I mean, we're talking gorgeous
his
boat.
His owner has a very nice boat.
Yes, that's also true. Well, that's not a boat. That's a yacht. And Brandon Linder's, I'm not sure how many feet it is. It technically could be a yacht. I think it's like over 29 feet and it's a yacht. But either way, Linder has literally like a gorgeous boat with three engines on the back. So hop on the boat with Linder and now his wife. He just got married over the weekend. And go explore and go see Fort George. And I am telling you, you will not regret it. And we already know he likes water and likes the beach and things like that. But that would be my advice, is try in a few times a year. And maybe because he is Trevor Lawrence, he might need to be a little incognito while he's there so he doesn't get mobbed by the people.
The beauty of the personal boat.
Right.
No one knows.
But once you're kind of on the land, the actual island, then that's when more people can be around you. But it is, if you've never been, if you've always lived in Jacksonville, or if you just got to Jacksonville, if you've never been, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. You can rent a boat and go there. But I would recommend going with people who know what they're doing because of the high tide and low tide, you'll see sometimes boats get completely stranded. So that's the other advice is pay attention to the tides because there will be boats that are literally there until the next tide comes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. And then their pictures end up online and people make fun of them. But either way, my advice to Trevor is to
Nobody
try
would make
and,
fun of Trevor.
No, never. Absolutely never. But just really try and explore and go, you know, to different parts off the beaten path.
Mine was almost the same thing. I literally wrote explore because I think that in Jacksonville it's easy. It's so big that you kind of get stuck in your area because you know that area, you know those places, you're familiar with whatever. And a lot of people around town, when you ask like, oh, hey, I'm in town, what should I do? They're like, oh, go to the beach bars, go to this restaurant at the beach, which is great. Like there's a lot of places out there. But I think that in Jacksonville, there are so many hidden gems, like you said. And for me, it's food. I love trying all different sorts of food. And there's restaurants from seafood to Italian to Mexican to whatever type of food you want. Yeah. I mean, anything. And all over town, little mom and pop stores or restaurants or whatever. And those are my favorite places to end up kind of coming upon because it will be more of word of mouth type stuff is when you hear that. Like someone says, oh, I tried this seafood restaurant out and blah, blah, blah. And you'll drive and it's maybe 20, 30 minutes because it's Jacksonville and sometimes that's the drive. But it's wonderful. And I think that, so my, I guess, explore, but also don't be confined to like the area that is like the popular area because there are little outskirts areas that are really, really good in Jacksonville.
And I do know based off of Trevor Lawrence's Instagram, he loves food because he takes pictures of the food that he's eating because he has a personal chef. Because of course he does. But still, that is really good advice for him. What about you, Mia?
Trevor, Marissa, I hope you're listening because I have a list. That's why I have my laptop and this list in front of me. Number one, beware the one-way roads downtown. I have turned the wrong way down a one-way at least 3 times this year, and I have lived here almost 3 years. Number two, do not go to First Ave Jack's Beach. Do not be a shooby. That's the Jersey Shore resident in me coming out. Where
what is a shooby?
Shooby is when you're a tourist and you show up with your boogie board and your knapsack and your picnic lunch and you're looking like you're there for the day.
That's a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. This is as someone who grew up at the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
And grew up 15 minutes from the water and my family has a house and what have you.
It's First Street. Is that what you're saying to stay away from?
Yeah, yes.
But First Street's great. There's good people watching on First Street.
Right. There it is. There it is. I am the type, I'll give you an example. This past Saturday, right? Wake up early, which for me is like 8:30 because, yeah. but even when I was living out in Los Angeles for the semester, I would wake up at like 7 a.m. It didn't matter if we had gone out the night before. I'd wake up at 7 a.m. I'd drive to Orange County and I would go to those beaches as opposed to Santa Monica. Because it's less crowded and it's quieter. And not to mention, that's where the real Californians lived. Same thing with New Jersey. Like, my friends used to love going to Belmar. Shout out to anyone listening that knows the geography of New Jersey. Belmar is the closest beach to my hometown. But it's where all the tourists go. It's where all the kids from up north, that's where they all go. Bump that. I would go down to my aunt's beach house in Brick, not just because my aunt has a beach house there, but because there's less people there. Mm-hmm. There's more quiet, more room to roam, and it's the real beach. Don't be a shooby, Trevor. That's number one. You're learning it. You're learning.
To discover really like Hannah Park,
yeah,
right. Atlantic Beach, Neptune Beach, drive South Ponte Vedra, or South Jacks, really. Just really where I live.
I don't want to give away my secrets, but there are 5 parking spots next to the Starbucks and 10th Street South, and that is where I park when I go to the beach.
Well, I would never have done that on air.
Sorry, everyone.
No, so, Trevor's definitely sorry not.
Sorry to you, because it's not going to be there
if
anymore.
If you're looking for a parking spot, go there. That's number. So don't be a shooby. Number three, kind of similar to what you guys said. Don't settle for the fast food places, or quite frankly, I love Burrito Gallery, but there are better taco places. Look for some of these authentic little ones like El Castillo off of San Jose. Obviously, Taco Lou is great, but it's always going to be packed. I haven't been to Dos Vatos yet,
you
but
have
I've heard
to go.
Some awesome things.
It's phenomenal.
Go everywhere with the tacos. Ditto to the ice cream scene. Witt's Cookies and Cream and May Day are my top three. Just make sure you go there. Number 4 or 5 is buy a bike. Very important.
A beach cruiser.
Beach cruiser. Or if you're more into the biking like I am, going like 16, 20 miles. You buy an actual bike, you can do the beach, or you can do...
Oh, you're one of those cyclists?
Oh, yeah. You can blame my Iowa roots for that.
You're one of them.
Yeah. I mean, the Baldwin Rail Trail. I actually love taking my bike up to Little Talbot Island and just biking into Fernandina. That's actually a lot of fun.
That's a lot different than what you're talking about. She's talking about people who will
those
bike on the actual road.
Those cyclists are killing me.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm like the type, like, I like to get on the trail. Like, I do have, like, a hybrid cycling bike, but... Yeah,
Trevor does not need to be road biking in this town. It's a little dangerous.
This is true.
So I'm sticking with beach cruising.
And finally, and this is probably most important for Trevor, and this is why he's listening to my rambling, which is the coffee scene. Because as we have seen on Instagram, Trevor is a big coffee connoisseur. Southern Grounds is my go-to.
Oh, Southern Grounds is delicious.
I would also like to give a shout-out to the Lucky Goat that just opened off of Kernan. Also very good. And, of course, my people at Brass Tacks. Those are your go-tos, Trevor. Thank me later.
You can tell.
I even told you the parking spot, so we're good.
You can tell by this group of people who the ladies go out and about and the one that does not go out and about. Because here's my advice. Embrace golf. Like that.
True.
That is
that's really good.
But you got to embrace it because Northeast Florida is phenomenal for golf, whether you're playing the 17th. Whether you're at the Yards on an outing or you want a night out at Topgolf, whatever it is, golf is everywhere. So embrace golf. Learn. Yeah. Because you're Trevor Lawrence, you can easily. I'm sure Emily will agree when Emily Tillo joins us. He'll easily be able to get out.
She will give him lessons if he asks, sure. I'm sure. It's Emily Tillo. She'll do whatever anyone needs.
So, well, and really one of us should have mentioned, Trevor, go to the Players.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe not this year.
Right.
Circumstances are a little different. He's recovering from his surgery and all that jazz. But next year, 100%, get tickets, go to the Players.
Mm-hmm. And I like also that all of us have been in Jacksonville like different periods of time also. So it's good because Mia's been here the least amount of time. So she's like, here's everything I've learned these last 3 years.
She's a shoobie.
I should know. I'm going to nerd out here for a second. When I went to London, I wrote down everything I did. I wrote down which tourist attractions were worth it, which trips were worth it, how much you need for this, that, and the other. And I shared it with a bunch of my friends that were going to be going to London the next semester. And they loved it so much that then when I came back from LA, everyone was like, well, are you going to do a Mia's LA list? So just for the record, this is not me overachieving. This is just the weird way my brain works. So
that's good, though. I like it.
The promo to enter our segment was... ladies talking sports and a glass of Chardonnay. When we went to California when I was 23, I wasn't that much into wine yet. We went to 47 wineries in like 7 days, and I created a list of all the wineries and the wine because, right, unfortunately, I haven't been back since then, so I haven't been able to use the list. But one day,
In a Google Doc. That's the biggest game changer. Put it in a Google Doc. When I tell you, if we were to pull it up right now, there's like 167 people on the Mia's London list. I don't know half of them, but I've had Ithaca College students who I don't even know from Adam, and they're like, oh my God, you're the girl with the list. And I'm like, oh. So maybe I need to do a Jacksonville list, y'all.
I think so.
There you go.
I could learn some things.
Well, it's going to be time to win a Players gift pack as Emily Tillo is set to join us next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Emily Tillo joins us now, PR and community outreach from The Players. As she joins Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. Mia O'Brien will rejoin us in the next segment, but she said that Emily has had enough of her already this week working out all of the media stuff. So, Emily, you're just going to join us.
Working with Mia is always great. We're working on some great stories. Military appreciation, best vantage points at The Players. She's doing a little cooking segment with Chef Azar at Sawgrass on Friday, so...
That's
good stuff.
All good stuff. Mm-hmm. I volunteered to come eat the food that's cooked.
Yes.
But I'll be at the Yards. All right, Emily, a week away. Are you ready?
1 week away. Oh my gosh. It feels like you're never ready, you know, but then everything comes together
We're getting the awful weather out of the way this week.
Oh, my God, please.
And it looks like, knock on wood, it looks like next week is going to be sunny and in the 70s.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
I always look ahead at the weather.
We just did last year's weather. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Last year was gorgeous, but we were only out there for a few days. So we need the weather and we need the tournament to go on.
The past week has been weird, though. 80 today was a windstorm, it felt like.
Yes, agreed. All right, so let's talk about the military initiatives. Tell us first and foremost how Operation Shower went.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. Operation Shower is done. This is the tour's 80th shower with them because they're a national organization, basically baby showers for military moms-to-be. Typically, it's been in our Patriots Outpost, but we did a drive-in experience, and it was actually a drive-in movie experience. The theme was A Star is Born, which I love. Shout out to my boss, Marsha Oliver, for coming up with that name because I guess when her son was born, she did that. But did cute little Pixar films, like just seeing the little kids in the cars, like they were so tuned in to the little jumbo screen with the films, and everyone went away with tons of different gifts from, I think Chico is the baby brand that creates those. So the premise is everyone goes away with everything. It's, you know, they premise it as, oh, raffle here, raffle there, but then everyone goes home a winner. It was phenomenal because for some of these military moms-to-be, this is their only shower, and especially this year. I was speaking to some who had participated in years past, and they were like, because of the pandemic, obviously you can't have gatherings, you can't host showers, so to be able to do this and do it in a safe way with everyone staying in their cars, us bringing the gifts to them, it was so cool, cool. They deserve it.
I got to say, I was lucky enough to be a part of that, 9 years ago when when we were having our first with JT and the Furyks, you know, Jim and Tabitha were incredible. And it moved me so much that the next year I volunteered. I made like a huge gift bag. I was like, please here, give this away to some lucky mom because it's amazing what you guys did there. And we still have, I think, three or four of the big items, like a stroller was one of them. And we still use that for summer now. So 9 years later, we're still rocking the same stuff.
Oh, you're right, though. The Furyks are what they do in this community is so cool. We've got some fun stuff in the works with them actually this week. So stay tuned.
Well, now
for that.
Now you have the match for military.
Correct. So we just announced it today. This has been such a cool project to be a part of because we knew that this year is going to look different. Obviously, with the having less spectators on site means at the end of the day less money that we're able to generate for charity. So we wanted to get creative and do something different and new this year, especially in light of the fact that we won't have an on-site military appreciation ceremony or concert just due to the fact that a lot of active duty still can't even leave base, and we just didn't want to promote large gatherings on site. So Match for Military is a day-long campaign on Tuesday, March 9th, so 1 week from today, and the players will be matching all donations dollar for dollar up to $250,000 to support military organizations here in Northeast Florida. Really, we wanted this entire community to know that, one, we're always going to be here to support our military, and two, like, because we're such a big military town, let's all rally behind them. Like there's so many incredible organizations. Just the responses I've received from Canines for Warriors, from Operation New Uniform, Wounded Warrior Project, USO reached out today and was like, how can we help promote, support? What do we need to do to just spread the word to support our military members and veterans? And the military community, too, statistics have shown that they've just been more negatively impacted by the pandemic, the isolation. A lot of them are away from their families. So, props to, our team and Marsha Oliver on our team for identifying ways and being creative about how can we really rally the entire community around this. So,
and I think you'll get
March
to the 250,000, by the way, we get in one day about 150,000 for the Tom Coughlin J Fund.
Right.
And so through all of those different partners promoting it, I think you'll get to the goal.
Yeah. And I think that last year, obviously when all of this first started going on, our first immediate was we were bummed because we weren't getting to just experience the players, but you don't realize how many other things were affected in that when it came to military, when it came to a lot of the charity events that are kind of coincide with the players. So it's really, really cool to me that the players are still continuing a lot of this military appreciation as much as they can. And in that, it's things with a lot of discounts they get when it comes to dining and in the store.
Yeah, no, some Patriots Outpost partners, some food partners of our former military hospitality venue, which won't be happening this year just because it's a huge shared space. So just from health and safety standpoint, we can't have it on site. But one, in terms of hospitality, United Rentals, which is our official equipment provider for the PGA Tour, is hosting some key groups in their hospitality chalet on 17, which is awesome. So a few key groups on Thursday through Sunday. And then
Two, I would say we have a lot of other military appreciation initiatives in the works. Like you said, a lot of local restaurants are providing military members and veterans with discounts, from Woody's Barbecue's Ponte Vedra Beach location to Tropical Smoothie to Four Rivers to Cousins Maine Lobster, Bono's. I know I'm, but basically I'm missing a few, but there's a cool military appreciation decal that will be in the window of participating restaurants all throughout Players Week to let you know, hey, you know, come in here, you'll get some sort of discount, and then check the websites for those restaurants for more details as well. And then we will have a flyover, yes. 125th Fighter Wing, the F-15. So pumped for that. Our team's working on the little graphic similar to how the Blue Angels did it.
Nice.
But that's such a special thing to be part of. I remember biking out to the beach with my mom because we moved out to the beach about a year and a half ago, and we biked out and saw the Blue Angels, and it's just so cool to be able to see that. So that'll be a nice little gesture as well as part of the day.
Bono's, Woody's, Applebee's, Bonefish, Tropical Smoothie, Cousins Maine Lobster, Four Rivers Smokehouse.
Correct. And some of those are just specific locations. So definitely check the websites of those restaurants for more details.
So, Emily, I've been going to the Players since the 90s, and it always pretty much looks about the same. But it does sound like, now that I start to think about it, without the Patriots Outpost and some other of the, you know, the benefactor areas, how does it look different as far as those structures and things like that?
Yeah, there's just fewer of them. I think, you know, it will look a little bit different around the bowl on 17, just because you'll still have multi-level structures, but a lot of them are going to be private spaces versus the massive benefactor structure that you have where it's just, you know, a lot of people.
It's going to feel more exclusive almost.
It is. Yeah. It is. And we are encouraging people this year, especially if you get a ticket on site, go check out the other spots around the course where you may have had a tougher time to actually get, you know, up close. So there's going to be a lot of great vantage points out there. So yeah, 17 does look a little bit different after having gone out there and seeing it, but it's there's still the primary structures. It's just that there's fewer of them, so there won't be as long of a row per se behind 16 green, 17 tee area.
Are fans still going to be allowed to bring their own chairs?
Yes,
with
it, I think the folding chairs is part of that rule. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too sure. You know, no. Even though we're keeping it at limited capacity, if everything was still a-okay, is there? I know that for the military, they have to go to Will Call to get their vouchers, but Will Call is not on site this time.
Correct. It's not on site. It's at one of our old office buildings, one of my original office buildings in Sawgrass Village, Building 1. Yeah, so now,
near the Publix.
Near the Publix, yeah. Exactly. It's right next to kind of like a kinder care location, but right in that, you have to go there in order to then present your voucher to get your mobile ticket sent to you.
So you can drop your kids off at the kindergarten.
Yeah. Have a good day. We're going to the players.
Pick them back up. I thought this came with my military tickets. No.
They're going to be like, how have we seen such an influx of people this week?
That's just where my mind went. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Colin Murakawa, Patrick Cantlay, all going to be competing as announced today.
Mm-hmm.
Who out of those guys is going to win it? Just those four.
You know, I don't know. I texted you, Donna, because I was like, didn't you pick Colin Murakawa? But you picked Homa.
I did.
But Homa and Murakawa are both Cal Berkeley grads, like back-to-back weeks. That's a little fun fact.
Interesting.
But Dustin just has the demeanor, I think, to do it. He's just due. He hasn't really performed historically well here. I think just one top 10 in about how many appearances? 11 starts here, and then T5 was his best finish in 2019, but he's just so even keel. I mean, that guy, it's just unbelievable the amount that he can handle. And I think he's due.
How many among total players right now do we have committed?
Well, 154. The field size has been extended by 10 players due to a new rule with FedEx Cup standings and the way the weird season last year. So, yeah, we pretty much see everyone commit.
Right.
No one misses. Yeah, no one
I mean,
misses
how many, like, how many are left? How many spots
are? Oh, gosh, probably just a handful. Yeah. I haven't checked today, but sometimes you just get the last-minute ads. But Friday we'll send out the final field to our local list, and so you guys should see that.
Do you think we'll see any red shirts like we saw
recently
for Tiger?
I think so. Yeah. I think we'll see a ton. I think we'll see a
ton. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm. And we have a giveaway.
We do have a giveaway.
What's
gosh.
Do you need me
to remind
you?
I need to pull it up on my phone.
That's okay. Golf towel. You said a pint cup. What
is it? A silly pint cup. Those things, like the rubber ones.
Oh, that's the rubber one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those are awesome.
I didn't know what it was called, and I thought you misspelled something. So I was like, "Is this a silly pint cup?"
Yes.
I don't know, but I get it. Okay.
Like a little rubber, and then I think a Hoptinger gift card, right?
Yes. Yeah, $20 to Hoptinger.
Both locations are doing some fun giveaways and discounts, both the 5 points and the Jack's Beach one. During Players
Week. You also, I know it's not in tonight's giveaway, but I also see Meiomi wine over there, so other people can win that. I'm getting a little jealous.
If Lauren doesn't take it,
I know. Whose was that this week? Maybe XL Primetime?
Probably.
Yes, it is XL Primetime.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right. So what caller number, Miss Emily?
Let's go 12.
12, RJ.
RJ,
no
problem,
RJ.
RJ, well, just go two, but say 12.
Bye, RJ.
I say that because this will be Dustin's 12th start.
Yes,
so.
I like it. Caller number 12, so there we have it.
641-1010, 641-1010. If you want to win the wonderful player's gift pack, that would include a golf towel, a silly pint cup, which is the flexible. It's awesome. It's one that I purchased last year, and $20 to Hoptinger. Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you, ladies.
We can't wait.
Great to see you. I know. It'll be a fun week next week.
Yes, I know. The Frangie Show will be out, to my knowledge, Tuesday through Friday.
Awesome.
Between 16 and 18. That's at least the latest that I've heard. So
you perfect. Let us know if you're going to call in or if you're going to actually step away and come back here to see us next week.
Oh, good question. Okay, yes, definitely. I know I was actually talking with Steve to line up some guests too for Military Appreciation Day. So
yes.
Lots of things happening. Yeah, I'll probably join via phone because I can provide an update and we can do a final push.
Yes. Love it.
On that day.
Absolutely.
Love it. Awesome.
All right, that is Emily Tillo, PR and Community Outreach. Thanks again for joining us, Emily. Thanks for the giveaways, as always. And we've got Studs and Duds coming up next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyrell at 1010XL.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Oh, hello. Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. And it is time for my very favorite segment of the night, and that would be Studs or Duds.
History being written tonight in Hershey. The big man has broken the record and he's gone for more. We're just conjecturing here how many can he make. The guesses are running as high as 100. No good. In and out. The rebound, Luckenbill. Back to Luckwick. In the chamber.
Are you a stud?
Colin Morikawa is a world golf champion.
Or are you a dud?
Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
Ladies.
Checkered flag. William Byron wins in Homestead. Gets his second career win.
Who are your studs and duds?
As always, such a wonderful job, RJ. And I love that you got William Byron in there. It is so far the year of the young guns. Well, I can't say that because Michael McDowell won, but I would say, yeah. You know,
year of the underdog. The underdog.
It definitely is. Studs and duds. If you ladies don't mind, I will begin.
We never mind.
I felt like Lauren when I found this story, because Lauren always finds these stories from somewhere. You have no idea where she picks these studs from.
It's called the internet.
They're always phenomenal. Well, I found this story come across my Google feed, and it is from Bellsville, Ohio. And in Bellsville, Ohio, this girls' middle school basketball team only saw 5 girls sign up. Well, because you can't only have 5 girls for a middle school basketball team, obviously their season was in jeopardy, until the cheerleaders stepped up. And the cheerleaders joined and became basketball players.
Nice.
So they all cooperated together. Cheerleaders, not really, you know, this isn't their realm. They're obviously cheerleaders. However, the girls' middle school team then finished the season 10-1.
Oh.
So congrats to Bellsville, Ohio, the girls' middle school team. I'm so proud that the cheerleaders were like, these are our friends. They said, these are our friends. We didn't want to see them not be able to play, so we'll play. I'm like, that's awesome. So way to go, girls.
Yes,
stepping up
deserves
for your friends.
Applause. I love that.
Yes. Lauren. Do you have one, or should I skip
you?
I'm going to
go with a dud. This story is going to, I think, become bigger as the coming weeks go on. But ESPN analyst Dan Dockich for basketball, he, I think, is a really good analyst. However, he has been very vocal over the past few years about college athletes and their exploitation. He believes that if a college athlete, he said things on Twitter like this, if a college athlete can get tattoos, then obviously they're not being exploited, that they don't need to get paid and things like that. Well, then he ended up getting into it with a professor who disagreed with him, and she tweeted, let's take things into the pool because she is a really good swimmer. And instead of either making a joke about it or taking on the challenge, he then basically, and in her words, kind of violated her, because then he said, I'm going to have to divorce my wife if I'm going to get in the pool with you. So he took it to the level where obviously that's not at all what she meant. She was literally saying, like, let's race about this, you know, since we're disagreeing, let's just get in the pool, race, and declare a winner. And he took it a completely different way. And so I do think I've read now that ESPN is taking this matter seriously. Well, apparently they're looking into his bullying over the past few years. So that's why I say I think the story is going to get bigger, and we might see him either be suspended or fired. You know how things go at this point in time once they have proof of things. But it's just, it's disappointing, because when you admire somebody's work, it sucks to then see. And the thing with the professor, I don't think is the biggest deal by any means, but I do think you should be well aware of what you say when you have a profile like that. And we see it time and time again. And it's just, it's frustrating, because I do like his analysis, but I think that he's at this point in time gotten himself a little in over his head.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we've talked about that a few times this year, and obviously it's happened more than that, but a few times this year I remember talking on the show about people have said the wrong thing, whether it be on Twitter or during a broadcast or whatever. So you have, I think, if you've learned anything, it's kind of be careful what you say and really think about it before you send out that tweet or before you make that remark, because now everybody is definitely listening and more vocal about, hey, this is not right. You can't say that.
I don't follow him on Twitter, so I didn't realize all of the different things that he's said in the past.
Yeah, as the resident Big Ten aficionado here at the table, ESPN's going to find a lot of cases of bullying on there. Although I will say this, do commend Dan Dockich for going on Jordan Bohannon, the point guard at Iowa's podcast. Also commend the University of Iowa for allowing a current NCAA student athlete, or as Jordan puts it, college athlete, to be able to have a podcast where he discusses being, you know, being an athlete and being in college and whether or not, you know, name, image, and likeness, and whether athletes should be paid or not. And Dan actually went on the podcast, and he actually went on the week after Jay Billis, who is obviously a big proponent of players profiting off of their own name, image, and likeness. And so I was actually really surprised that he did go that far to have an hour-long conversation with someone on the record about it, because so often it is these little tweets and microaggressions that ESPN is going to uncover, and that won't be too fun for Mr. Dockich.
Social media will get you.
I hate, like, the thought that social media can, I know it can be negative, but you're the one deciding what to put out into the social media universe.
You're a 50-some-odd-year-old man. If you wouldn't do that to someone's face, why are you doing it behind a computer screen?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Taylor, stud or dud?
I have a stud, and my stud is Showtime, a.k.a. Patrick Kane, for the Chicago Blackhawks, because
they lay it back, overskated by Stahl, collected by DeBrinket. Now he and Kane come on a 2-on-1. Kane delays. He'll drag it. His shot. He scores! That's hockey, baby! That's 400 for Patrick Kane!
So Patrick Kane is obviously one of the main players for the Blackhawks, has been for the last 14 years now, which sounds weird to say because I remember when he first came to the Blackhawks, but that was his 400th goal, which he scored against the Red Wings in a 7-2 win. His was the third goal of the game, but it was the 100th player in the NHL history to hit that 400 mark, and only the third in the Chicago Blackhawks history. So it's a, and he's up there with some names, you know, and like some of these guys, I think the most has like 800 and something, but he still has a lot of career. I think he's not slowing down whatsoever right now. When you go look at his name, is in the top of everything, top of total points right now, top in assists, and towards the top in goals. But Patrick Kane has also gone through a lot. He was the one that had issues a few years ago with the alleged rape and all of that, and that all came out to be not true. And they, you know, like, and not one of the maybe it's not, but like, clear proof, and it was let go. But that was right after they won the Stanley Cup, so a lot of things got ruined for him during that year because he couldn't play, he couldn't practice, he couldn't do any of these things. So for him to kind of just like bounce back after that and never slow down, and like just even the slightest, he hasn't slowed down. In addition, it was really cool because that was his 400th goal. His first ever NHL point was also against the Red Wings, which most people, Blackhawks fans, do not like the Red Wings. So it's really fun to do stuff like that against them. So that is why Patrick Kane is my stud.
I love that. And is there any, for me, listening to play-by-play for hockey is so good. So exciting. And one thing I would never want to do, because you are constantly talking, and it's fast. You know, I love it, though.
It's honestly, like, hearing the horn is one of my favorite things. Like, when you hear that go off, you're like, oh, yes.
I think you should try to do, like, just 30 seconds of hockey play-by-play. I would never be able to. Like, I would literally just sit there in silence because I'd be like, I don't know where the puck is. I can't find it.
I would get tongue-tied. I would probably
I would be like.
Yeah, I would have an easier way of probably – you know, doing play-by-play for MRN, for NASCAR. Because you're only having 10 seconds, and you're just on one side of the track. So this is your turn. You're on turn one. Just say what you see. Go. Yeah.
Well, in NASCAR, they've got the lovely, like, bubbles, kind of, not bubbles, but you can see at all times where the cars are.
Right.
And with, the, you know, the different.
Hockey, I'm like.
Hockey, they don't have, I need that in order
well,
to
Well, they used to have, like, the star around it, and they took that away because it just looked terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful.
All right, Mio, stud or dud tonight?
All right, I'm going to give a stud first because then I'm actually going to give my dud, and it's a little bit of a tangent. So my quick stud goes out to the Northeast Florida Gator baseball players. We had some massive performances from some of Jacksonville's own. Hunter Barco, 10 strikeouts on Sunday. We saw the game winner, courtesy of the one and only Jacob Young, who has a 26-game hit streak coming into tomorrow night. He's out of Ponte Vedra. You have the pride of Bishop Kenny, Colby Halter, also contributing. He had a massive game last week against North Florida. So the Jacksonville guys are showing out.
Nice.
Okay,
they are.
Okay, my dud. I had the Zaxby's chicken sandwich for the first time on Saturday because I said, all right, I'm at Edward Waters basketball tournament. They were hosting the GCAC conference tournament. Shout out to the ladies, by the way. They lost in overtime and a heartbreaker in the championship final. But Coach Wilson has built such a great program out there. It's incredible. They were running behind schedule, though, in the semifinals. And so I had an hour and 40 minutes to kill. There is a Popeyes 110 yards from the arena. But I was like, I got time to kill. And I've had the Popeyes chicken sandwich. I'm going to go to Zaxby's. So I went to Zaxby's, and I got the Zaxby's new sensational chicken sandwich. Initial impressions, as I tweeted, was that it's better than Chick-fil-A's.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chick-fil-A doesn't really have that sauce. Zaxby, it's got the sauce. But let me tell you, about 2 hours after I sent that tweet, I was still feeling that sandwich in the bottom of my stomach.
Oh, no.
And so that's a dud if I've ever heard a dud. Popeyes remains undefeated, but let's be real. We all want to shop local these days. Go down to Green Cove Springs. Go to the Blazing Buffalo. That's the best chicken sandwich in Northeast Florida.
I still have not had the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
It is good. I will say this. Of the three, of anyone that you should ever crave or be like, oh, that is the only one, in my opinion.
I love
Chick-fil-A tenders. I swear by Chick-fil-A tenders, but not for the sandwich.
I love Popeyes. I jokingly say, like, I would have Popeyes cater my wedding because I love their chicken that much, but I haven't had
a
sandwich either.
I
would do it.
It lives up to the hype. I will say this. It lives up to the hype. It has almost this tender, like, heavenly feeling to it. I think it's probably just because you think Popeyes, you think biscuits. Even though it's not on a biscuit, it's on a brioche bun, which is equally as sensational. But the Chick-fil-A sandwich, and listen, I love Chick-fil-A, but it just feels like they just threw it in a little foil and said, here you go.
Yeah.
And the Zaxby's was good.
The service was great at Chick-fil-A.
Always. Yes. Always. We blessings to you. Bless you for coming in today. Yes.
I feel like the brioche is now like the new avocado for the sense of it's everywhere and made into everything. I see the brioche sliced bread. They have brioche hot dog buns.
Oh, at Publix.
Hamburgers.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It was the first thing you see in the sales section when you first walk into Publix, the brioche bun.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing.
I was like, when did this become a thing? Was there a celebrity that endorsed brioche and now it's everywhere?
No, it's the chicken sandwich war. War on the chicken sandwich.
Can I make a side comment really fast?
Yeah.
Kind of backtracking to the Patrick Kane thing that I was saying, because it was a comment that he said in this as I was reading the article of his interview after, and he made the comment of, because they don't have fans right now. So he was saying, cool moment, but like my parents weren't there, no fans were there, the baby wasn't there, my girlfriend wasn't there. And it really got me thinking that it's like a lot of these moments that these guys are experiencing right now is awesome, but they're not experiencing it the way that, like, you know, you really wish they could experience it.
But today, they started letting fans into hockey games as of Sunday. I know the New York Rangers welcomed fans back into MSG Sunday. Prudential Center, PP, I'm going to blank on the name of it, where the Penguins play.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowing fans in today. And those are in states where obviously...
we're way more strict.
Way more strict. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming. I mean, yes. I know several people that went to the Orlando Magic game a few weeks ago. They said it felt like they had a private, you know, showing of the Orlando Magic because there was only 20% capacity. So
close. Yeah, I came up with this saying for myself. 2020 was a year of sacrifice. 2021 will be a year of gratitude because things are going to come back, and we are going to, honestly, because I do think we took a lot of stuff for granted before, at least I did. So now I'm going to be way more thankful. Like, I loved country concerts in 2019. But I am going to really love my first country concert in 2021.
Oh, yes. Tell me about it. I just bought my Cubs Braves tickets for that series. And as I was purchasing them, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so emotional right now.
Right, which before, when you were allowed to go,
I was like, it's exciting, but you weren't like, oh, because you knew I would probably go see the Cubs 3-4 times that year at least.
Right.
And now
you
I'm like, it's been
grateful.
A long time.
Right. Yeah. Now I think we're far more.
And bringing
grateful.
It full circle to, you know, we just had Emily Tillo on with the players. I remember being in the merchandise clothing shop when we got the text, you got the notification that the NCAA tournament had been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they were saying, oh, we're going to come back out tomorrow, but no fans, in the back of my mind, I was like, This isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
and so I actually took a ton of pictures on my phone because, I mean, at that point in time, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be here. I don't know when we're going to be here. Like, is this the end? So I think getting out to the course next week will have there will be a new sense of appreciation, even though I've been out there since and I've played and the Corn Ferry Tour was out there. But it'll be a newfound sense of appreciation for getting to go to those events.
I was in that press conference and had to hold my phone up so that Primetime could get the audio for the tour actually canceling the players.
Well, let's find out who will be on the Trevor cast this week on the other side with Helmets and Heels driven by Tire Outlet.
Seven years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
One last segment to go here on Helmets and Heels. Mia O'Brien joined alongside Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Taylor Dahl. Before we go any further, we're going to talk a little bit about the Trevor Cast. It's what everyone's talking about these days. Episode 2 of the Trevor Cast, powered by Claude Nolan Cadillac, drops Thursday right here on 1010XL and wherever you can find podcasts. Are we allowed to say who the special guest is? We're going to be listening to a clip of him, so I guess it's already out. I know there was some mystique previously. The special guest will be Darian Wrencher, running back at Clemson, a really good friend of Trevor's. And we're going to give you a sneak preview right now. And Darian's got some words for those Trevor haters.
Because of the long hair, like he's a pretty looking dude. You know what I'm saying? Like he got long blonde hair. He's tall, like all these things. But people think he's like soft. And I think he kind of knows that a little bit, like that persona is a little bit out there, like, or he's just a pretty boy. He's just like, he kind of like, he's just been gifted. Like he didn't work for it, but like a man works as hard as anybody. He's a grinder and he's really, really competitive.
The man loves coffee. Don't judge him for that. He loves coffee and he loves whatever shampoo endorsement he's going to get. That's Darian Wrencher, Clemson running back, who will, I believe, be coming back for his sixth year, former walk-on for the Tigers. He is the special guest on the Trevor Cast, featuring, led by Matt Hayes Carlion. That's dropping Thursday at 9 a.m. What I find most fascinating, obviously, the relationship between Trevor and Darian is obviously strong, and I'm sure we will hear more about that on Thursday. But the story that I told you guys off the air is that Darian Rencher was this year's recipient of the Disney Spirit Award, given to the student athlete who best personifies leadership both on and off the field. And Darian said when head coach Dabo Swinney was announcing who the recipient was, and he starts talking about the person and that it's this Disney Spirit Award. And Darian said he's sitting there with his teammates and he thought Trevor was winning it. And then he said, instead, he said Darian Rencher. And I know Trevor and him are always Instagramming with each other and they're posting with each other. And it's a, it definitely seems like a true brotherhood between the two of them. So that is an incredible guess that the Hayeses, the law firm of Hayes and Hayes have lined up, because I think we're going to get an insight into Trevor that we might not see otherwise. I know last week, obviously, was a coach that went up against Trevor. I know Mac Brown, I believe, is scheduled for further down the line. But I think this episode is, it's going to touch on a lot of what so many of us have been craving for knowing more about this guy that's going to save a franchise.
Yeah, it's a great idea that they have here at 1010XL, running with Matt Hayes and Hayes Carline with the Trevor cast. And I have to say, though, with Darian, I would never call a person with long hair, a guy with long hair, just a pretty boy. I don't match up the long hair matching with pretty boy. But I love that he's like just that he talks about how hard he works and everything like that. That's just my thing. Like, I would never do that.
I think that it's the immediate, like, remember the Titan sunshine, like that kind of thing. So not saying that you automatically associate that with being like weak or anything, because I would never say that about Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
But that's the coolest thing about this podcast. And it's 10 weeks, week episode. First episode was last week, and it's taking us all the way to the draft. And every week is going to have somebody different. And like you said, it was David Cutcliffe last week. So you got the inside, the on the field side of Trevor, which we've seen that. But it's still kind of cool to hear the people who's gone against him say it. But guys like this is going to be fun, because I know they get into if they think Jacksonville as a city would be a good fit for Trevor. So you'll hear all of that. It drops on Thursday at 9 a.m.
Yes, I cannot wait. The first one was fantastic. And great job by both Matt Hayes and Hayes Carline. Did y'all watch Dazed and Confused, the movie, enough to know who Mitch is? The brown-haired guy who had the older sister that was the senior, but he's the freshman, and he has the long brown hair, and he constantly pinched his nose. That's who Trevor Lawrence reminds me of. During his pro day, he occasionally would like go to like move his hair, but he also would like touch his face. And so for me, it's not Sunshine from Remember the Titans. It's Mitch from Dazed and Confused, if you don't know
who
it is.
Those are very different.
Very, very, very different.
And lest we forget, there's another quarterback that has long hair here in Jacksonville as of right now.
Well, sort of long hair.
Pieces of his hair are long.
Allegedly, he thinks that he's going to have the best hair of the two if he's still here. So,
Gardner Minshew has been posting a lot of videos of working out on social media. And look, if you're Gardner, I'm sure you think, and we talked about him at length recently, I'm sure he thinks he deserves a chance to start, a chance to compete somewhere. And here in Jacksonville, that's not in the cards. And so I wonder if he's posting all this to say, hey,
I'm still working.
Other 31 NFL teams, give me a shot.
Because as we said earlier, there's 13 teams that are going to be needing a quarterback. So
not all of them can get Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson.
There's only a couple of those guys. So somebody is going to have to go for someone like Gardner and give him a chance.
Well,
not saying it's Gardner, but somebody. Possibly.
I would recommend, we gave advice to Trevor earlier. My advice to Gardner would be, don't have the mullet for the interview with the NFL team. Just saying that.
I disagree.
Amen. Me you.
That's not going to help.
I'd hire him.
Taylor is
the only one who would.
He's authentically him. And
that's
what they've told us from day one. I said it last week and I'll say it again. I do believe Gardner Minshew can be a starting quarterback somewhere. I am also a believer of your backup quarterback needs to mirror your starting quarterback. Obviously, 6'5", 214 pounds is not Gardner.
It's not.
And so that's where I look at him as a trade asset, a trade piece for this team. But hey, listen, we've had a lot of fun. I think there might be a team out there that wants to have fun. Maybe a New England who doesn't want to have fun. I mean, they kind of sucked the fun out of Cam Newton a little bit.
He would not fit in New England.
Right.
No,
right.
He would not.
But see, I disagree. But see, that where I do think he would fit in New England is that he is a football junkie. This guy almost went to Alabama to become a third string quarterback and then a GA for Nick Saban. Nick Saban doesn't look like a lot of fun either. Yeah, and he almost went to work with him.
I mean it from a fan base standpoint. That the fan base would not rally around someone like that.
They don't want the fun. They want the good there.
Yes.
One of the recent videos Gardner Minshew posted, he was doing his like pre-workout, but just straight up pours the powder in his mouth with like both of the little, I don't even know, scoop things. And I was just like, oh my gosh, somebody is going to love, like the Jags appreciated him. They thought he was fun, but we kept saying that. Like, do you want a fun quarterback right. or do you want to be good? And somebody is going to be like, let's bring a little fun and energy until we can find the guy.
He was a Band-Aid for the city. That's mm-hmm. essentially what he was. We know how bad we were.
Blake was fun too, but he just worked
in
here.
In no world was he fun.
Blake was not fun for me.
God, he was horrible. Oh, I don't want to remember those days.
As we're talking about these athletes that, you know, have a personality both on and off the court, the field, whatever it may be, one story this weekend that kind of stuck with me and also kind of flew under the radar, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, soccer player. I am Zlatan.
Football player.
Yes, when he got to the LA Galaxy, he literally just, even though the man can speak full English, just, I am Zlatan. I am warrior. I am Zlatan. And what he did. He spoke out against LeBron James because he is not a big fan of the fact that LeBron is talking about other things besides sports. He's talking about, in Zlatan's words, you know, things outside of his profession. The fact that Zlatan says that he is a football player or soccer player. So he focuses, talks about those things that he is a professional in. So why doesn't LeBron just focus on basketball? And obviously, LeBron James prides himself in being more than an athlete. That's actually a nonprofit that he started. And so needless to say, he did not receive that very well. But of course, he played it off and said, I do my research and what have you. And actually kind of bringing this back to the point I made earlier about Dan Dockic going on Jordan Bohannon, the point guard at Iowa's podcast, a big thing that Jordan stressed and actually asked Kurt Warner on a recent episode is, should athletes, beyond just having conversations outside of the sports realm, should they be taking part in other activities, whether it's playing a second sport, not necessarily professionally, but like, you know, having a hobby of playing golf or mm-hmm. playing basketball or podcasting or real estate? Should athletes be encouraged to have that? Because I absolutely think that that's essential, and so did Kurt Warner, that that's how, as human beings, we grow and we become better at adapting to our situation. But apparently Zlatan disagrees.
Well, I think there's two separate conversations. One is, if you are speaking about politics, are you really well informed? Yeah. Or are you just watching, pick your, you know, News CNN channel. Or Fox News, right, one of the other? Are you just watching that, forming an opinion, and moving on? Or are you really doing more research than that? Are you spending time in the community with community outreach leaders and things like that? So that's conversation A. If you're doing the latter, if you're doing all of that, then I think say as much as you want because you're in it, you're involved. But the second part is doing things outside of their sport. To me, I think the mental health of the athlete, both during the sport and after, is much better if they have interests outside mm-hmm. of just one single focus, because at some point in time, that career is going to end. Even the great Tom Brady, his career at some point of quarterback will end. And the life he's known as far as being in the spotlight and being able to do that one job that he loves of quarterbacking will be over. He obviously has other interests. He'll be fine. But I certainly think that they need to.
Avocado toast.
Yeah.
Tom Brady made the show.
Avocado yeah. ice cream.
I think
he made it earlier, didn't he?
He did.
I can't be the first one to bring him up at 7:52 when we're about to leave.
Like, what? I think that, what is Zlatan? Is that yeah. his
name? Zlatan, yes.
Is Ibrahimovic easier to say?
I was like, I'm hoping Mia is bringing us into this one because I do not know how to say this. But to begin, going off, you said LeBron did not take that very well. LeBron doesn't take a lot of things very well. If it's mm-hmm. disagreeing with him in any form, whether it's on the court or off the court, LeBron doesn't love that. But LeBron is big into the community, and I don't think that's a problem. I don't think the problem is using your platform to show people the right way or to do good things or to speak even your opinion. I think where people have a lot of problems is that they feel like they can't completely separate it. And in Zlatan says that sports unite people. And that was his reasoning in it, is like, hey, people want to come and watch the game because they want to separate from like the bad stuff that's mm-hmm. going on, and for a minute, for 2 hours, yeah, for 3 hours, be able to just really enjoy your team or whatever it is. So I think I get his reasoning in it, but I also get that there is a line there to where you can have politics involved and speak your mind and be that platform and be that encouraging person in the community without completely ruining sports for people. And I think that sometimes people cross that line a little
bit. I mean, it also brings into the shut up and dribble conversation mm-hmm. of, well, you're a performer and you're doing all this good stuff performing. Why do you need to step outside of that boundary? But I think as human beings, like we said, you can't operate in a bubble. We mm-hmm. saw what happened when these players were literally in a physical bubble in multiple different sports mm-hmm. in 2020. And obviously, mentally, emotionally, I mean, did it work? Yes. But was it sustainable? Absolutely not. You mm-hmm. can't operate and live your life in a bubble.
Well, yeah. Next week, we will be talking about the players, as next week, we will be not live from the players, but live of the week of the players. Very excited. Very excited. So we want to make sure to thank Seth Galina from PFF for joining us earlier, talking all about Trevor Lawrence. We want to thank Emily Tillo once again from the players and the wonderful giveaway pack that was awarded to one lucky listener. So for RJ Saunders, DJ RJ, for Mia O'Brien, for Taylor Dahl, for Lauren Brooks, I am Donna Murphy. You guys have a wonderful Tuesday night.